Welcome to Warrior Wisdom, our ever-growing podcast for the FBA community. We now have three weekly portions of the podcast: Monday, our ongoing study of Ezra and Nehemiah; Wednesday, our study of FBA's core values; and Friday. And last week, Teresa, Mrs. Chambers, published the first day in the life of FBA, which will give a behind-the-scenes look at some of the amazing things and amazing people at FBA. So I hope you're following along, hopefully to all three, as we make this new journey together. Today, in our Bible study of Ezra and Nehemiah, we are in Ezra 4. Ezra 1 and 2, God stirred their hearts to return from exile and to rebuild his temple. Ezra 3, the work begins and they build the altar and begin to sacrifice and worship God. And then today, the work gets hard. So let's read a few verses from Ezra 4 as we get started. Ezra 4:1 just says, "Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the returned exiles were building a temple to the Lord God of Israel," there are adversaries, right? Ezra 4:5, "Then the people of the land discouraged the people of Judah. They made them afraid to build, and they bribed counselors against them to frustrate their purpose." And then towards the end of Ezra 4, Ezra 23, "They went in haste to the Jews at Jerusalem and by force and power made them cease." Ezra 4 is the story of the rebuilding starts. And then those around look and say this, "We don't want this to happen." And so the adversaries come upon them. They begin to oppose their work. They begin to make it hard. They send a letter of false accusations and coercions to the new king. And they get the king to respond to say, "Yes, you should not be doing this." All these things happen in this chapter. We're not going to read through all that, but the truth is, following God's will and following God's plan, following God's call will be rewarding and fruitful, but it will also be hard. I love Matthew 11:30. "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." But Matthew 11:28, which leads us into that, is a little tougher, right? "Come to me, all who labor." The hard work is not condemned. It's part of the plan. Matthew 7:13-14, right? "There's a wide gate that is easy and it leads to destruction. And there's a narrow gate that is hard and leads to life." Or the language we saw last semester in 1 Timothy 6:12, "Fight the good fight of faith." It is hard. It's a fight. These things are expected, not strange. This is baked in to the, it is not something added on to the process. So let's look at Ezra 4 and see the adversaries that come in them. And there's going to be six different forms of opposition. First, in Ezra 4:2-3, the adversaries, they approach Zerubbabel and the heads of the fathers, and they say to them, "Let us build with you, for we worship your God as you do. And we have been sacrificing to him ever since the days of the king of Assyria who brought us here." But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the heads of the fathers in Israel said to them, "You have nothing to do with us in building the house to our God, but we alone will build the house." First form of opposition we see here is this deception, or this wanting to join the team to sort of defeat the process from the inside. In life, in our faith, in our calling, there are things that can be done with others, but wisdom and discernment is needed. The adversaries come offering to help. "Let us build with you." It seems like a great thing. We've got a lot of work to do. We'll take all the help we can get, but the question is not, do I need help? It is rather, is this the right help? There's stories all throughout the Old Testament of Israel accepting the wrong help, or Israel looking towards the wrong deliverance. I'm going to read quickly from Isaiah, just two verses. Isaiah 30:1 just says, from God, "Oh, my stubborn children, who carry out a plan, but not mine, who make an alliance, but not in my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. And chapter 30 continues all the way through that, and he gets to the beginning of chapter 31 and says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots, because there are many, and horsemen, because they are very strong, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult with the Lord. There are things we can do with others, and then there are things we shouldn't, and wisdom and discernment is needed. There are things where anybody can help. Disaster relief. We have homes that have flooded. We need to go muck out these homes. Sign up. Let's go. Whoever can go, right? But there's other things where only some can help. Think of education, the education for your child, right? It needs certain skills. Christian education requires not just the skills, but certain beliefs. So it narrows it down that only some can help. Then there's places that only a specific someone can help. Parenting. Parenting is meant to be done by parents. It can't be outsourced. So there's anybody can help. Only some can help. Specific someone can help. And then there's things only I can do or only you can do. For example, marriage. Only I can be what is needed as a husband for Mrs. Chambers. That is my responsibility. I can't give that to anyone else. We all need wisdom and discernment to be able to respond like they do in verse 3, and says, and say, you have nothing to do with us in building a house to our God. We alone will build to the Lord. Deception will come. They will try to come get inside and defeat from within. But when they can't, they'll come from the outside. So let's read Ezra 4, 4 and 5, and then Ezra 23, and we're going to get all five of the other forms of deception from these verses. Verse 4, and then the people of the land discouraged the people of Judah. They made them afraid to build. They bribed counselors against them to frustrate their purposes. That's verses 4 and 5. And then then at the end of verse 23, they went to haste to the Jews at Jerusalem and by force and power made them cease. So when they can't get inside to defeat us from inside, they then begin to attack us from outside. And there's five things listed here. They discourage. They bring fear. They use coercion or false accusations. Number 5, they use power. And number 6, they use force. They discourage, they make afraid, they coerce, they use power, they use force. And so I'm going to turn to Daniel and look quickly at three stories of Daniel and sort of put all five of these together in the forms of opposition. Daniel 1. Daniel 1, this is the beginning of the exile from which Israel is now returning. This is the beginning of them going to Babylon, and Daniel was part of the first wave. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we'll talk about in a minute, are part of this first wave. They took the elite down, and they're brought into the king's house. And we see in Daniel 1:8, but Daniel was resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of eunuchs to allow himself not to defile himself. And then verses 12 and 13. He says, then Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of eunuchs had assigned over him, test your servant for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and waters to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. Daniel is being discouraged by the chief of eunuchs and by those in charge from keeping his religion, is the truth. He's like, hey, I don't think you should do this. This is not the right way. I fear the Lord my king, that if you look worse than them, I don't think this has happened, right? And we all get this in our lives. I don't think you can do this. I don't think you should do this. I don't think you are right. I don't think you know what you're talking about. And we see these things play out as they try to sow doubt in Daniel's mind, or they try to show doubt in our mind. And the solution is to have resolve. We're told right there in verse 8, Daniel resolved that he would not do this. Daniel was ready. We should be ready. Proper steps should be taken before adversity comes, or we will panic, right? Panic is being aggressive and confused at the same time. It's running on 100% emotion. We've all seen it. Resolve is being calculated and prepared at the same time. I'm a football coach, and I say it all the time. We say it all the time. You play like you practice. And the question is, are you preparing in a way that will lead you through the storm? They try to discourage, but if they can't discourage us, then they move to fear and coercion that eventually involves power and force. And I'm going to just use two stories quickly to walk through all of those as we do that. And the first one is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Nebuchadnezzar builds a golden statue. They come and say, Nebuchadnezzar, everybody under your control should bow to this statue. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do not bow. Nebuchadnezzar becomes furious. Like, why won't you bow? Why won't you do this? Why won't you do what you're being told? And so he turns from fear, like, hey, bow to my statue. You should be afraid of me. You should. And they're like, no, we fear God, to power and force. And he turns the flames up and he does all these things to them, right? As they stand in front of the fiery furnace. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego respond like this. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand. But if not, what a great line, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. They try to use fear. When fear didn't work, they turned to power and they turned to force. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have the answer and the solution to fear that leads to opposition by power and force is faith. Our God is able to deliver us. Our God will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, even if he does not, you will not through fear, you will not through power, you will not through force get us to worship you or to worship your gods. We will stand on faith. As we get discouraged, the answer is resolve. As people try to make us afraid and then turn to power and force, the answer is faith. And then the last story we'll look at is Daniel and the lion's den. Daniel's put in charge. Daniel of the whole kingdom, right? And everybody else gets jealous. So they devise a plan to catch him. And they're going to do it through coercion. They're going to do it through false accusations. The same thing that happens in Ezra 4. If you go back and read through Ezra 4, if y'all take a class on, a writing class, it is a great example of just making an argument, right? They're going to skew things their way. You're going to get things going their way. It's a great, if you're a lawyer, right? It's making sure you know the answers to the questions and seeing those things. And they use that in Ezra 4 to get the king to turn against them building the temple. And the same thing happens here to Daniel. Through coercion, through false accusation, ultimately, Daniel's thrown into the lion's den. For being right, for being blameless, for being faithful. It's a great story of deliverance. But it's also a story of really, real hard opposition. Opposition that goes from coercion, false accusations, to force, to power. And the solution to false accusations is being faithful. Daniel 6, 4. They're like, how do we find something in Daniel? And they're like, I don't know. The high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. In verse 22, as he's coming out, the king's like, Daniel, are you alive? And Daniel's answering the king, and he says in verse 22, my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also before you. O king, I have done no harm. The key to defeating coercion, the key to defeating false accusations, is being blameless. Is living a life that is above reproach. It is living a life that allows us to say, I have done nothing wrong. I am blameless before you, and I am blameless before my Father. Does that mean we're sinless? No, it does not mean we're perfect. We seek God's forgiveness, but it is, we live in a way that is above reproach. We give no room for them to create false accusations. We give no room for them to find that path in, because we are faithful. Discouragement, the solution's resolve. Fear, the solution is faith. Coercion, false accusations, the solution is faithfulness in our lives. And we see those things from them. As we finish right here, the truth is opposition will come. Deceit, discouragement, fear, coercion, power, force. We will face them during our lives, and the question is, how will we respond? And the truth is, Ezra 4 does not give us the Sunday school answer. If we go to the end of Ezra 4 and read the last verse, then the work on the house of God that is in Jerusalem stopped. The work stopped. It's what they did. They quit. But if we can be honest, I would guess we've all quit before ourselves. Maybe you've quit right now. Maybe you've given up. Maybe you've thrown in the towel. But we have to learn and believe that adversity, even tragedy, no matter how great, cannot be confused with defeat. Because the battle, as we know, has already been won. Ezra 4, the work stopped, they quit. But anytime we can start again, as we will see next week in Ezra 5. Let's pray. God, thank you that you're with us through the adversity. Lord, help us to be those who have resolve. Help us to be those who have faith, and help us to be those who live faithfully, and don't allow us to stop our work. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.